A lot of water imagery this morning. So we're going to talk about water. Now, water and I have always had a sort of interesting relationship. I'm great with water in small amounts. And although I do really love jumping waves in the ocean, there is always part of me that is terrified of the water's power and ability to pull me under every time that I wade out into the ocean. And as a child, water terrified me. I wasn't afraid to go in a pool or body of water as long as I felt a certain sense of control. If I felt confident that I would be able to keep my head above the water, I could get myself to go in, but any threat of having to go under the water terrified me. Maybe some of you can relate to this. Now, my parents were really good parents, at least I think so, and they signed me up for swimming lessons where I was forced to put my face in the water and blow bubbles so that I could learn how to swim, but I hated it. And to be honest, while I kind of learned how to keep myself afloat and swim a little bit, I never became a good swimmer because I still refused to put my head under the water. I went to summer camp for the first time in the summer after second grade. I was about 8 years old, and I was a very, very cautious child. So when the opportunity came to go down the camp water slide, I decided there was absolutely no way that I was doing this. The slide seemed to go on forever down this huge hill in the woods, and it ended with the person sliding into a pool filled with water and dirty leaves. Not my idea of a good time. Now, I knew that if I went down this water slide, it would be nearly impossible for me to keep my head above the water as I went plunging into the icy cold pool at the bottom. I watched the other girls in my tent go down the slide squealing and screaming and walk back up the hill with smiles on their faces in spite of the way they were shivering and holding themselves to keep warm because of the cold mountain water they had just been in. Now, I hadn't gone to camp alone. I went with my best friend, who also happened to be in my tent, and she would not stop insisting that I just had to do this water slide because it was so much fun. All the rest of the girls in my tent joined in on her pleas until my cautious nature and fear of water was somehow overpowered by my desire not to be the loser girl who was too chicken to go down the water slide. So I sat at the top of the water slide, thinking to myself, you know, I've seen all the other girls in my tent go down. None of them died. They're all fine. I will probably be fine too. So I sat there, heart pounding, fingers clenching my nose shut as tightly as I could, terrified of what was coming. And then my counselor came up behind me and gave me the push that sent me plunging down the slippery slope into the freezing pool of dirty water, and yes, I was completely submerged. It was probably the most terrifying thing that I had experienced in my young 8 years, but when I emerged from the pool shaking, not just from the freezing cold water, I felt stronger and braver than I'd ever felt before, although I really did not want to do it again. I'm sure every one of us in this room has a story to tell about an experience with water. Some are probably similar to mine, and some may be more exciting stories of feeling like a fish in the water and loving it to death. Maybe there are stories of deliverance, like a time that you were dying of thirst and a cup of water saved your life. See, water affects all of us. It's such a fascinating substance. It's the source of life and sustenance, but it can be a powerful force that wreaks death and destruction upon the earth. It captivates the human imagination so much that it has been incorporated into stories, songs, and poems for thousands and thousands of years. We sang one of those songs this morning, "Wade in the Water." It's a powerful and soulful African-American spiritual, and despite our best efforts, I don't think we quite did it justice this morning. This song, like other African American spirituals, was born out of the pain of oppression and difficulty, but also of hope in a loving and powerful God. Most of us hear this song, and we assume that it is only a reference to the Israelite crossing of the Red Sea. It's full of imagery of Israelites, Moses, and their story of deliverance. And some of us probably have heard that the instruction to wade in the water was hidden code for slaves hoping to reach freedom. When they would wade through the waters of rivers and streams, it helps to cover their scent so that the hunting dogs that were tracking them down to return them to their masters would be thrown off. But the song has a much deeper spiritual meaning than even that, as I discovered this week doing some research about the history of the music. Now, although Wade in the Water has powerful Red Sea-type imagery of passing through, the language of God troubling the water isn't about God blowing a path through the sea. It refers to the story of the pool at Bethesda in John 5, where people would come for healing. The story goes that an angel of God would come down and trouble the water, and if you stepped into that troubled water, you would be healed. But in the song Wade in the Water, the imagery of wading into the water comes first. We wade into the water and then expect that God will trouble the water and bring healing and help us through the water itself. The water is symbolic in this song of life's troubles and challenges and the encouragement to wade through them because God will give you the power to endure. It's more about pressing on than finding a quick solution. Howard Thurman, influential African-American author, philosopher, theologian, educator, and civil rights leader, explained it like this. For the slaves, the troubled waters meant the ups and downs, the vicissitudes of life. And within the context of troubled waters of life, there are healing waters, because God is in the midst of the turmoil. We see God in the midst of the turmoil in the story that Joyce read for us this morning with the Israelites out in the middle of the wilderness. A sea looms ahead, no boats in sight, as Pharaoh's army closes in behind them. Weighed down by all the heavy things they carry, they cannot move quickly enough to escape. The problems close in on them. It looks like this is it. This is the end. They've come only this far to die in the wilderness by Pharaoh's army. They're scared. They're vulnerable. They're alone, abandoned maybe feeling, even panicked. There's no way they're going to get through this. At least so they think. We'll never get through the sea. We're trapped between the army and this water that looks impossible to wade through. Living human life guarantees that we experience moments like this. Moments where it feels like everything is closing in on us. Moments when we fear like we won't make it through. Moments when we wonder why we were brought out of one horrible situation only to be thrust into another. Moments when problems loom before us like a vast sea that we don't have the strength to go through. I can only imagine how many people on earth feel overwhelmed by a sea of trouble right now. Victims of natural disasters, flooding, forest fires, earthquakes, storms, people left homeless by war, by hurricanes and mudslides. Those facing a scary diagnosis or walking with a loved one through illness. Those wondering how they're going to make it through the month or even the week without running out of money to feed their family or pay their medical bills. those mourning the death of a friend or family member, wondering how life can possibly go on without them. I could go on and on, because there are so many ways that we, as a human family, experience overwhelming things in life. There are so many forms these difficulties take. We at PMC have certainly faced our share of bad news over the past few weeks and months, from the deaths of those close to us to hospitalizations, expected and unexpected, anxiety about the state of our world. And if we're honest, some of us may admit that we feel discouraged, maybe even wonder, where is God in all of this? But I think the Israelites felt that way too. They followed God out of Egypt, and just when they thought everything was going well, here comes Pharaoh's army chasing after them full steam ahead, and they're trapped between the army and the sea. They probably wondered why God would let this happen, and I'm sure they felt scared and vulnerable as they looked at the vast sea before them and heard the army approaching from behind. Now, in chapter 14, in a part that we did not read this morning, the part just before Joyce started reading, we see the Israelites going to Moses and saying, "Moses, why did you bring us here?" Like, they've just left Egypt, right? Not that long ago. And they say, "Why did you bring us here? We should have stayed in Egypt. Did you only bring us out here because there wasn't enough space to bury us in Egypt?" And God says, "Tell them it's going to be okay. I'm with them. They're going to get through this." God didn't leave them to face the sea alone. God was there in the midst of the turmoil. God traveled with them in the form of a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, protecting them from the Egyptians, lighting their way, and in the dark of night, God even helped them to go through the vast sea that lay before them. When the challenges of this life surround us, like Pharaoh's army surrounded the Israelites, God is with us. When it seems there is no way out, God is with us. When we fear we will never make it through, God is with us. And we can lean on God for the strength we need to wade in the water and press on through the troubles to make it to the other side. Now, there's no guarantee that it will be easy. Chances are it will probably be very difficult. And it doesn't mean that everything will always turn out the way that we hope. But it does mean that we don't have to face our seas of problems alone. Now, although none of us in this room have experienced the overwhelming oppression of slavery like the Israelites or our African American brothers and sisters who first sung "Wade in the Water," we still face some incredibly challenging circumstances sometimes. And when we're stuck between a vast army and a vast sea, God is there with us, helping us get through to the other side. We might not know what lies ahead, although we do know that for the Israelites it was more wilderness. But when we wade through the waters of life's troubled seas, God is there, even in the turmoil. So what sea are you facing this morning? What seas are we facing together? What water do we need the courage, or do you need the courage to wade into? Let each of us and all of us, hand in hand, wade into the water together with the hope that we will make it through to the other side of the sea. In the midst of fear, let us wade in the water. in the midst of uncertainty, weighed in the water, in the midst of sadness, weighed in the water, in the midst of pain, in the midst of exhaustion, weighed in the water. In all things, let us press on and wade in the water of life, knowing that God is with us. God is with us. And God is going to trouble the water.